You mentioned the Prosigna assay, and of course, there's also the 70-gene assay, the MammaPrint that we saw some data on, phase three data with the MINDEX study. Could you kind of contrast what we know about these three assays, particularly as it relates to node-positive disease?
So I think it's a good question you've brought up. I think we know less with node-positive disease than we do with node-negative, and we really have to be aware of that. So MINDAC did show that certainly the genomic data suggested you could tell who needed chemo and who couldn't, that you could spare many women chemo. What's important to realize from the MINDAC is those patients who got chemo did have between a 1-3% benefit for getting the chemo. So it wasn't without benefit. It wasn't totally equivalent. But many of us, and certainly many women, wouldn't think that a 1-3% benefit was enough to warrant chemo. So I think what we're learning is that chemo might be effective, but how effective? The Prosigna data, particularly the analysis of like ATEC and the Austrian data, has shown that you can really look at low risk, intermediate risk, and high risk patients and look at luminal B and look at luminal A, showing that luminal A really don't benefit from chemo. And I think that's been really the data with Prosigna. So even in a node positive, luminal A don't benefit. And one thing to say as an aside, there's also been data in local disease that luminal A low risk patients might not benefit from radiation when they have low risk disease. So very small luminal A tumors might not benefit. So I think what the Prosigna is really doing is showing us the ROR score and the luminal A, luminal B, and suggesting who might benefit from chemo. When you look at the 70 gene, it's the same thing. Which of these is the best? I don't think we know yet, and I think we might not ever know which is the best gene assay. What I think is going to happen is, as oncologists, we'll get comfortable with one test versus another. We'll find out which is covered. We'll find out which gives us the data. And it might be that we use a different gene test for node negatives versus node positives as we go along. The other thing that the tests might show us is who benefits from which chemo. We don't have that data yet, but certainly with the Prosigna, there's a lot of work going on about anthracyclines versus non-anthracyclines for those tests. So it's going to take us some time, but it'll sort out.
You know, it's interesting, you know, when you talk about this idea of you're not really sure what assay to use, it's hard to make that decision. You know, I think also in terms of drugs that come out, we have three PARP inhibitors now in ovarian cancer. How do you choose between them? We'll get to that in a second. But when you talked about this idea of what you're used to, and it's funny because when you were presenting the case and when you got to the part where you went and then the recurrence score was 8, you know, I kind of felt this thing in my chest that just, oh, you know,
Yeah.
like I took a breath.
Exactly.
You know, we've gotten so used to it, you almost connect with it at a visceral level, if that makes any sense to you.
You do. And what's interesting is certainly when I phoned this patient and said, your recurrence score is 8, I could hear her screams of glee. You know, I think what's interesting is just to get to the recurrence scores is there's a lot for us to learn with the recurrence scores. And we have to remember, we haven't seen the randomized data from TAILORx yet. Is it a continuum? Is there going to be a cutoff? Are we going to look at the intermediate scores and get that same visceral response when we learn it as a continuum? The other group that I think are important is I've had some interesting recurrent scores with grade 2 node negative ER positives who I've subsequently found out to be BRCA positive mutation carriers who have high recurrent scores. So I think there's lots more for us to learn about recurrent scores or about Prosigna or gene 70 tests, whatever.